My name is Jim Butterick. I was born in 1942 at 11 Aberford Road in Alton. It doesn't exist anymore. It's at the side of the old Masons, which was demolished to make room for the new old Masons. If you come in along Calvary Road from the Rothwell end, just as you go by the, I believe it's an antique shop now, just around the corner to the left, 10, 15 yards, and you'd be where I was born, which was in the downstairs room, in the car park of where the pub is now. It was a cottage with a one-bedroom upstairs, one-bedroom downstairs, a small lean-to kitchen, and then there was a bedroom attached to the large bedroom that was over the top of the next-door neighbour's front room, where my sister and I used to sleep. There was no electricity. It was cold water only, so my mother warmed all the water in the over the fire. And we had our baths on a Friday night, even if we didn't need one. I remember about the house, it was very cold. I remember we used to play on the top of the coal place and have some interaction with the public through the windows, who were sat there with their old cigarettes and old pints of beer, laughing and joking at this young lad and young lass jumping about outside. Yeah, that's outside the old Masons.
Did you actually know any of those people in the pub? Do you know what they did?
Well, they were all colliers, because of obviously Walter Haig, and some of them, I suppose, worked at the brewery, but the majority of the people who worked at the brewery, I believe, used to go to the Midland or the Pointers, because it was handy. My dad, even though he worked at the brewery, never went out for a pint, only Christmas Day dinner time with his brother. He never, ever went out for a pint.
And did your house have a connection to the brewery?
Only the fact that it was owned by the brewery, which is how we got to live there. My dad and my mother, when they were married in 1940, were allowed to take up that residence in that property. My dad was Albert Butterick, 6 foot plus, a big strapping chap, and he was a drayman. Started work there in about 1930, after leaving Walter Haig Pitt. And he was a drayman all his life until he retired in the mid-50s.
And what kind of vehicles did he use to drive?
I couldn't say. They were big bone shakers, but they were certainly all petrol-driven.
And did he bring the wagon to the old Masons?
No. He used to deliver all over the place, but I never remember him delivering to the old Masons. But I certainly recall some places that he'd delivered to, because as a young lad I was allowed... I don't think it was allowed by the brewery... But during the summer holidays, occasionally my dad and his mate would pull up in the wagon outside our house, and I'd climb aboard with my jam sandwiches and my bottle of Tizer, and off we'd go to some far-flung place that I'd never ever heard of before. And if he was going the other way, towards Garforth, I used to set off earlier in the morning, walk through the village over the Swillington Bridges with my bag in my hand, and... It'd take me that way.
So he'd pick you up out of sight of the brewery on the other side?
Out of the sight of the brewery, yeah, because it wasn't allowed. I recall places that we actually went to. For example, the farthest north that Bentley's delivered to was a place called Bishop Auckland. And I always had a soft spot for Bishop Auckland because of going there with my dad, and took an interest in how they went on as an amateur football team. And Bob Hardesty was the big hero at the time, who I believe captained the England amateur team. The delivery point at Bishop Auckland was just an off-licence. It wasn't a pub. It was the only place I recall us going to that wasn't a pub. And the journey there, I remember very clearly, all the roads were covered with snow, and we had to go around what is known as the Devil's Elbow, which a lot of people will recall. It's a very steep, adverse camber hill. How he got that vehicle round is beyond me, but he did.
And did he have somebody else with him in the lorry helping him?
Yes, there were the driver's mate, and the one I recall more than any other is a chap by the name of Jack Ryder. Jack's wife worked in Dennis Brooks' garage, which is where Liddell's is now. But he was similar to my dad, a big strapping guy, big smile on his face all the time. Lovely, lovely man. I remember going to Louth in Lincolnshire. I don't remember anything about it. I just recall we went to Louth because my dad said that's the farthest they went that way. The one that's got the firmest memory for me, though, is going to Haworth. And I think the pub's called The Swan in Haworth. And we went there and did the delivery, and I used to stand at the top of the cellar head, as usual, and watch my dad with these flipping great big barrels, whipping them off the back of the wagon, and they'd slide them down the chute onto like a sack, and then the big crates of Mackeson, Jubilee, or whatever, would also go down onto this sack, and it'd all get loaded on. And then we'd go inside into the pub, and the landlord would check everything was okay, and as usual, the driver and his mate would have a pint. Every pub we ever went to, the driver and his mate had a pint, which always has amused me ever since. You know, they must have had some consumption, these chaps.
And that was your dad having a pint?
Oh, yeah, even though he was driving this vehicle, you know, they all had a pint. They both had a pint apiece. But at the pub in Haworth, they'd done all the deliveries and everything, and they pulled a pint for my dad and Jack. And the landlord said to me, when I disappear behind the bar, I was only 10 or 11 at the time, when I disappear behind the bar, pull that bell rope behind you, you see. And it was like a tapestry rope. So I watched him, he disappeared, and I pulled this bell rope, and he came out, and he'd got this towel over his arm with a tray in his hand, and he said, yes, young man, what would you like? So I looked at him, gormless, I hadn't a clue what he was talking about. He says, what would you like? What would you like to drink? So I said, oh, could I have some Tizer, please? Yes, what would you like to eat? So I said, oh, can I have a bag of crisps, please? So he says, certainly. And he brought them to me, and he says, that chair you're sat in, you know, you used to sit in that chair. So I said, well, no. So he says, that was where Bramwell Bronte used to sit. Every night he'd come from the parsonage and sit in that chair, have a load of ale, and then stagger home. And you're sat in that chair. And I've been a couple of times since. I went with my mother and recently with one of my granddaughters. And the chair is still there, but it's obviously put away in an alcove on the staircase so that nobody goes sitting on it.
So but could we reasonably suggest then that Bramwell Bronte used to drink Bentley's Bitter?
He used to drink in that pub anyway. Whether Bentley's was going at the time that Bramwell Bronte was drinking his beer or not, I'm not sure.
Did you ever go inside the brewery itself then with your dad?
Yes, yes. And there was a chap down at the brewery who used to catch rats, and they'd tie a bit of string round rat, and he'd be walking around with this rat on this bit of string all day long. End of the day, kill it, and then the following day get another one. And played with it. Unbelievable. Yes, I remember going into various parts of the brewery. It wouldn't be allowed now, of course, you know, but you'd just free reign, really. Oh, hello, Jim, you know, if you come to see your dad, he's just finishing unloading. He won't be long, you know.
What do you remember about the appearance of the brewery? What was it sort of? Was it a sort of dirty kind of place?
Oh, very dingy. Very dingy, yes. It certainly wasn't a clean place. Obviously, it was washed clean where they were doing the brewing. But the other areas where stuff was kept, you know, all the sacks and the barrels and all the rest of it, it was dingy. But there was this wonderful smell which you get at breweries these days. You know, you go to a brewery and you smell the malt and all the rest of the barley and everything. It's a fabulous smell that never leaves you. And, you know, you'd only have to be walking down the road, go under the railway bridge, and it hit you straight away. You know, because I used to go down, if my dad was ill, I used to go down with his cheque to pick up his wage on a Thursday. You know, go to the little window. I don't remember the name of anybody who served me, but they always say, oh, hello, Jimmy. You know, because I was known as Jimmy when I was young.
What do you mean, cheque?
It was like a small piece of copper with a number on it, you know, that was my dad's. I don't remember the number. 141 seems to stick in my mind for some unknown reason. BYB 141. So maybe that was his cheque number, you know, that he'd hand in to pick up his pay, to prove that he was he.
Did your dad retire from Bentley's Brewery?
Yes, he retired from the brewery. He didn't do any work afterwards. He had to pack in work because he had such a bad back. He suffered with lumbago and one thing or another. It must have been to do with, you know, the strenuous nature of the job he'd done all his life, throwing beer barrels around and what have you.
Did he get a good send-off?
He got a very good send-off. I remember we were sat at home, because we lived at the top of Albert Road at the time, wondering, it was time that my dad had got home from work. my sister and I suddenly heard this sort of tapping on the door. And as I've mentioned already, it was a big strapping guy. And so we opened the front door, and laid there was my dad. So we got Ron next door to give us a hand to get my dad in, lay him on the settee. And apparently what had happened is they'd all spiked his drink, because they knew very well that Albert could sup. Many of them have told me since that they couldn't understand how he could consume so much. But he never, ever, as I've mentioned already, never ever went out for a drink. He just had enough at work, obviously. But apparently he'd found his way along Green Lee, and at the top of Albert Road, he noticed the distance to number 23, which is where we lived, was only about 30 yards. That's all he had to make. And he got hold of the sapling at the top of the road, spun round it and went down on his backside. Got up, found his way across the road, but unfortunately, as he's walking up the footpath, he caught his toe on one of the bricks at the side of the paving stones, went all his length, and he's scratching away at the door. And, of course, the following day, he's telling us about how his drinks have been spiked. But that was the only time I ever saw my dad.
I bet that was a bit of a fib.
Yeah, probably. Probably, you know, but...
Well, if you've worked at a brewery for a lot of your life, then that's a good way to go, I suppose.
Most certainly.